Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 is a verse I read earlier in our service. It's a verse that we use in teaching God's Word to talk to people about prayer. That verse says, "Cast all your anxiety or your cares on Him because He cares for you." It's a beautiful invitation from our God to talk to Him in prayer, to bring our request to Him, because He cares for us. But it's interesting in that verse that that phrase, "He cares for you," could almost literally be translated, "God is interested in you," or "His interest rests with you." That puts a little bit different spin on that. The Lord is interested in you. You know, if somebody's interested in you, that's encouraging. It makes you feel good. The Creator of the heavens and earth is interested in you. The Savior of the world is interested in you. The one who gave His life is interested in you. That's kind of encouraging. Not only is God interested in you, the Lord has also been known to brag on you a little bit. Not in a boastful way, but the Lord's been known to in a very fatherly way, talk about His children, talk about His believers. This is something God said about one of His believers. He said, "Have you considered my servant? There was no one on earth like him. A man who fears God and shuns evil." God said that about one of His own believers. There's nobody like him who fears God and shuns evil. God said that about a man named Job. And He said that to the devil himself. God said to the devil, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him." Now we know what happened. The devil set his sights on Job. The devil launched a series of attacks against Job. And Job didn't know what hit him. Makes me a little uneasy to think that God might be having that conversation about me or about one of you. We don't know, and that's not our concern. And that's not what Peter talks to us about this morning, what conversations God is or is not having. God talks to us through His Word this morning about suffering, about dealing with that suffering, about living as a child of God in this world. And God wants us to be certain that He's interested in us. He's interested in us. And so He talks to us about suffering as a Christian and how He uses that to draw us close to Him. And He talks to us about how He sets us firmly on the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering in our world is not something that's really all that shocking. You know, this past week, there was another terrorist attack in Manchester, England. That bomb went off at that concert. And while that's, I guess, surprising and it's shocking in the sense that somebody could act that way, really, we get kind of used to it. I still remember September 11th, 2001, I was driving down Interstate 24, and just after 8 o'clock in the morning, the news came over the radio that the Twin Towers had been attacked. And admittedly, that day I was very stunned and very surprised. I couldn't believe that it was happening. But now when you hear about something like that, you move very quickly on. Until and unless that suffering comes directly into your life, then it's a shock. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe I'm going through this. The Lord this morning says, don't be surprised. Listen again to what He says through Peter. "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange or happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Don't be surprised when suffering comes. It's what happens to the people of God. It signifies that God's interested in you, that you're his child, that you bear the name of Christ. It happened to Jesus, so it's going to happen to his followers. We should expect it. The suffering also points us ahead. It's a reminder that there's sin in this world. It's a reminder that we daily struggle against it, that we encounter all the consequences of sin, sometimes in our own life and certainly in the world around us. It's a sign that we're not in heaven yet. And Peter talks to us. He says, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For if it's time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? We suffer this way now, but we're not going to suffer this way eternally. We suffer in this world, but it will one day come to an end when the Lord Jesus returns and brings his perfect justice and judgment to this world. We've already escaped that because the gospel of our Savior Jesus has set us free from the consequences of our sin. The promises of salvation are ours right now. And so when we see suffering in this world, when we look ahead to that last day, we view that day as a time of relief, a time to lift up our heads because our salvation is drawing near. And every time we suffer, every time we go through hardships, God is teaching us that lesson. The Apostle Paul was a man who suffered greatly in his ministry. In one of his letter to the Corinthians, the second letter that he wrote to them, he describes a suffering in his life that he said was beyond his ability to endure. He said he felt like he was going to die. And Paul said this about his suffering. He said, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. That's God's promise to us. That as we suffer, and we fully expect to do that, God is using it to strengthen us, to rely on him, the God who raises the dead, who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, who promises to give us eternal life forever. God's interested in you, and he's absolutely interested in you believing that message and taking it to heart, even in the midst of some pretty incredible suffering. Sometimes it's hard to talk about dealing with suffering as a Christian because it's a very emotional thing and it's a very personal thing. Who feels the same way that you do? Who has the same exact experiences as you? And even if you find that person who maybe had something similar, in those conversations you realize that they're just looking at it differently. And so it's hard. It's hard to talk about it. It's hard to work through. And that's exactly why God's word is so important as we do it. Why it's so important to go through this life with that foundation of God's word. Why it's so vital for us to know that our loving Savior is interested in our life and wants nothing else than to set us firmly on the foundation of his life, death, and resurrection. And that's exactly what he does. As we go through this suffering, he humbles us and he builds us up in the faith. Peter writes, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The Lord is interested in lifting you up. The Lord is interested in bringing you deliverance. He says at the end of the section, the God of all grace, who called you to this eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. We understand that little while could be a long time, many years, our whole life. But we realize God promises an end to it, finally when we go home to heaven. But through all of it, through all the difficulties we face in life, Jesus continues to establish us firm on the foundation of Him. King David was another man of the Bible who understood suffering. A lot of it he brought on himself. In Psalm number 40, David described God's deliverance this way. David said, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." The mud and the mire, the muck, that's our sin. That's what has trapped us and what we could never escape from. But God lifted us out of that. He set us on that firm foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He seeks to continue to establish us on that foundation of Jesus. And using all of that suffering, using all of those difficulties to accomplish that goal. That's what God is interested in. There's somebody else who has an interest here. That somebody else is our enemy. The devil himself is also interested. He is interested in attacking us and pulling us away from the Lord. Peter talks about it. He said, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering." Be self-controlled and alert. Satan is after you. I don't think we always fully realize what that means, that the devil's after us. In his large catechism, and I think it was when he was talking about the Lord's Prayer, Martin Luther made this observation. He said, if we realized how many arrows Satan had pointed at us every day, we'd probably never get out of bed in the morning. We'd just pull the blankets up and try to hide. Because he's after us all the time. And when we've identified one temptation and seem to have overcome it, there's another one that comes and we don't even recognize. Be self-controlled and alert. The devil's after you. He'll do all he can to pull you away from the Lord. For Job, one day he woke up and it was his personal day of infamy. He lost all of his possessions and all of his family. It was all gone. He came through it. In the name of the Lord be praised. He gives and he's taken away. And the next day, wham, right between the eyes again, his sickness. That horrible disease from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head, covered in boils and sores. And sometimes it seems that way. It's one thing after another, and the devil is there. Recognize those attacks. They're sneaky. He tries to create doubt. Tries to create those questions in our mind about God. I don't deserve this. I didn't do anything wrong. What's going on? And before we know it, we're sinking back into that mud and that muck. We're sinking back into those sins, and we might not come right out and curse God and die, but we sinfully challenge Him. We arrogantly doubt His wisdom. The devil gets a hold of us. Resist him. Standing firm in the faith. And that's the key. Standing firm in the faith that's founded on Christ Jesus, the one who overcame every temptation, who faced everything you do and never once gave in, the one who died for all of your sins and made that full payment, the one who conquered death on your behalf and delivers you the victory. Stand firm in that faith, and the Lord Jesus Himself enables you to do that. That's why this time together as the people of God is so important. Peter talked to those Christians. He said, "You're not alone. You're not alone in suffering. People throughout the world are undergoing those same kinds of challenges. And those people that Peter was writing to were on the front end of a 250-year persecution against the Christian church. The Roman government was about to launch persecutions that would go on and on and on, and they were going to deal with all of that. He said, you're not alone. It's not just the people around you, it's your Savior God who's with you and interested in your salvation. So this is important, to be together around the Word of God, not because we're going to find somebody here that understands us perfectly, not because we're going to click with everybody in this congregation, but because here, around the Word of God, we're established and made firm in the faith through Word and Sacrament. That's what God is interested in doing every day of our life. And what a privilege to get to do it together as brothers and sisters in Christ. I really love doing ministry, love being a pastor. I love working with God's people. I think as Christians, we treasure the Word of God. We recognize what a gift it is and what a privilege it is to be about His work. But sometimes we get kind of careless with it. And we suffer a little bit because of that. Years ago, I heard an illustration that helped me understand a little bit how God makes us realize what a gift it is to be founded on Jesus. There's a little boy, and he's got his favorite toy boat, and he's by the pond, and he's playing with his boat in the water, and this is his favorite boat, and suddenly it gets out of his hand, and it gets away from him, and it goes out to the middle of the lake, or the pond, and he's lost his boat, and he's just devastated. Suddenly, a stranger comes up behind him, and doesn't say a word to the kid, but starts picking up rocks and starts throwing them. Not only has he lost his boat, now somebody's going to sink his boat. And then he realizes what that stranger is doing. The rocks are going beyond the boat and creating those waves, and eventually gets back there. He's got his boat back. How thankful he is. We lose things. We neglect them. We're careless with them. Sometimes it's just gone. And then it seems like the rocks are being thrown at us. Our life is being bombed, one thing after another. But what is God doing? This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. God is firming us up in the faith. He is rebuilding us on our Savior Jesus. He is strengthening us through those hardships and through all of that suffering to keep us close. That's what God's interested in doing. May God the Holy Spirit help you to see that in your life. In the midst of your suffering and struggle, may God the Holy Spirit, through that word, convince you. When you don't see earthly evidence, convince you on the basis of God's word and His promises, and continue to make you firm in the faith of Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.